This hour of the show is brought to you by Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff. The Jeff Orbit Show starts now.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Orbit's here. Happy to be here with you today. Another really busy show, and I've had to bring in my A squad here. Well, Olivia's always the A squad, right?
Yep, I'm always around.
Always around.
Plus, I'm not.
Former state rep Bob Thorpe is with us as well to kind of hit on a lot of topics, including some news updates here in Arizona. I know, Bob, you toured the White House this weekend. Did you lose something while you were there?
Yeah, you know, I'm embarrassed to say, you know, I was I got the last tour, actually it was Friday evening, and you know, I got outside after the tour, had a great time in the tour, hung out with you know, the Bidens for a little bit.
Hunter.
Hunter's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then I got outside and I realized I didn't have my bag of cocaine.
Your bag of blow. Yeah. This is still going on. It's kind of sad because this is such a distraction to all the problems and challenges that we need to be working on. And
it is.
But it also really signifies how messed up the Biden White House actually is.
It is.
And how crazy it is there. So,
you know, what's crazy is even the liberal media, I've seen some of the talk show pundits, they're snickering about the whole thing. You know, the whole association with Hunter and his cocaine use, that it's a laughing matter. It's a joke. A
laughing matter of the world here. And then you've been busy, so you're getting some solar panels put in, so you are turning leftist. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have problems with solar panels. I think actually they're real practical and, you know, in Arizona, obviously. It's just not the entire country.
So, you know, we got a little bit of snow this winter. Did you notice any of that?
Yeah, I still feel that. I'm still suffering from the pain
of the
fifth
painful.
Snowiest winter. Yeah.
So
you can't tell right now, and Olivia's going to share red flag warnings and all that stuff here in a minute. But
so before winter set in, I put 12 solar voltaic panels on my roof.
Okay.
And the winter was not good to them. I got a bunch of ice damming and problems. So now I'm building a big on-the-ground rack system, 8 foot wide, 40 feet long, to put solar panels as well as 3 hot water generating panels.
Good.
And they'll be a lot more accessible being on the ground.
Yeah, good. And you're digging, you're doing some backhoe work. I actually, you know, I bought my tractor here this past winter, and I'm probably take you up on your offer to have the kids do some backhoe work because they've learned to use the tractor. And I think
sure.
That in this day and age, there's so many people that don't have any real skills nowadays,
mm-hmm.
like being a YouTube sensation or a YouTube influencer, social media influencer.
Is that a skill?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess if you're really successful at it, hey, I guess it's a skill if you're pulling in a good amount of money. But a lot of people just can't do anything anymore, less and less. So I say learn as many skills at any age. Because I've operated tractors, things like that. I've never operated a backhoe though.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it takes a little bit of coordination, but it's fun also.
Yeah. So good to be out there doing that stuff. Olivia, give out the email and also share with us this wind storm that we're seeing. I guess we got a red flag warning till when? Tomorrow? Is it till Friday, I think, that we've got that?
Yeah, I don't know if there's an exact...
I think it's till Friday at 8 p.m.
Okay.
or something like that.
Originally,
so
it was
it's ripping.
Until this evening, but they
extended that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's fires out there as well. There's a couple of... I'm kind of seeing these fires. They're working their way up in elevation. It seems like we're almost on a delayed schedule here, Bob and Olivia. The fires are slowly kind of working up from the lower elevations, and we haven't really fortunately seen them in the, you know, real high country as of yet, but monsoon's been delayed. I saw there was a chance maybe next Monday, Tuesday of the monsoon of some possibly rain. I saw 50% down in Camp Verde and 30% in Flagstaff, so we'll see. But we delayed the really hot start to the winter, but we're just delaying the monsoon. So I guess in the end, same impact. But which one is out by Globe? There's something going on now?
Yeah, the Flying V fire. So this is AZ Central. It says that 6 fires were started along US 60, human-caused, and 5 were contained. Oh, and they closed US 60.
Okay.
But the one that isn't is 722 acres as of a few hours ago.
Yeah, and with this wind and heat, that can rip out of control pretty pretty big. There was one yesterday north of Kingman.
Yeah, there's still this Stockton Hill fire that's continued to grow at 650 acres.
Okay.
So still not put out, still burning.
And, Bob, you pointed this out. Interesting fact is the first person on the scene, the first firefighters, I guess, they get to name the fire.
They do.
We had somebody on from the Forest Service a couple years back, so that's where... I don't know. They come up with a name, and that's what it is.
If I was the first one on the scene.
Yeah, what would Olivia come up with? Yeah.
They try to be creative, but at the same time, they try to do something that kind of references the area.
Yeah, try to.
You know, so you know, if they're going to go to a fire in Prescott, they're not going to call it the Malibu Beach Fire.
You'd be like, I wish I was in Malibu at the beach.
They're going to call it something.
Although I just read an article. I didn't put it in today's show notes. But I read an article about the percentage of beaches across the country that have high fecal contamination, mm-hmm. like a lot of beaches in the Gulf. Basically, most of the big popular beaches, they're warning people, of course, don't get the water in your mouth, which is impossible if you're at the ocean, right?
What about your eyes and your ears?
Yeah, your eyes, and they're like, you better wash real good when you get out. And, a lot of it's coming from, I guess, people in the water, but also just contamination from septic systems and sewage and storm drains and stuff like that. So there was some kind of rating online about which beaches were. I can't worry about that stuff. If you're going to go to the beach, if you're in like the big populated city areas, I especially think about this when you go down to Mexico, the water is clear blue. But if you go to we went to Acapulco once and places like that, it's like, there's all these buildings here. Where is the sewage going?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of systems they have there? But this is in the U.S. that's having the problems and people are getting sick somewhat.
I grew up in Southern California, and occasionally the drain systems, you know, the big, city-owned, city-controlled sewage systems would, overflow, or they would have accidents, and they'd get spillage into the ocean. And, and then they would start closing down the beaches because of the high bacteria levels.
I remember back in the East Coast, we'd go to the Jersey Shore. That was the big thing, and it was the medical waste that was actually coming up at that time, because they were taking barges out and they would just dump it out at sea. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what's going to happen is going to make its way back in at some point. In California, they actually have a glass beach. If you've ever been to that one, where they used to dump, and they always say, hey, don't dump things and don't litter and things like that. But back in the early 1900s, they used to take the bottles and the glass and all that out to sea and dump it. And now it's all, I think that was, north of San Francisco somewhere, if memory serves me right. Now all of that over the years has worn down, and it's like little pebbles of glass.
Yeah, and it looks like a gem or something.
Yeah, it looks
but
like
it's really glass. It's really smooth. Yeah.
So now it's like a tourist site. So trash becomes a tourist site in the future sometimes. I mean, it's probably not going to happen with medical waste, but who knows what they'll be digging up in the future. All right. I want to mention our great sponsor here, Zero Res. Can I get the words out? Zero Res of Northern Arizona. So you want to get your carpets cleaned. And believe me, you want to get them cleaned, because I've torn out, and you probably have too, Bob, torn out a lot of carpets over the years. And the stuff that accumulates, especially underneath, is pretty nasty. Mm-hmm. So you need a professional like Zero Res of Northern Arizona. Come on in. And right now they've got a great special for July. Three rooms of carpet for $138. Three rooms of carpet, $138. And you actually receive a fourth room for free.
Wow.
No promo code on that. Just call them up and get this thing scheduled. Take advantage of this great July special, 928-378-8888. That's 928-378-8888. Or you can also go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. That's ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Take advantage of that. And remember, they also got cleaning for the fabrics, like your couches, your vehicle cleaning.
Ceramic tile.
They'll do the tile, which the tile gets really nasty as well. So go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. That's ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. You want to do a comment? Let's start off with this one that came in on the Just Wireless listener line, where you can leave your comments anytime, 877-971-3-971. Olivia's laughing. 877-971-3-971. This is Leo, when we were talking about the cost of doing business going up and the fact that everybody's doing these surcharges now, mm-hmm. the 3% surcharges for the credit card and all the fees and stuff like that. And Angela shared, did you hear this story yesterday? We went to a place in Jerome and they had a 3% surcharge for using the credit card. Mm-hmm. So Angela, of course, is like, okay, I'll pay with cash. And they had this whole note on in this place that said, in order not to, we don't want to raise our prices for our customers. So if you're paying with credit or debit card, we're applying a 3% fee. So basically they're implying, hey, we're not raising our prices if you don't pay with a credit card. Mm-hmm. So Angela whips out cash and they say, oh, we don't take cash. So there was no point. There's no choice. But so they did raise their prices by 3%. But here's Leo.
Hey, Jeff, Leo from Rimrock. Listen, I own a business in Sedona, and I'm listening to your show. It's July 5th, 2023, about the overcharging on these credit card fees. You know, what's funny is my system, I do credit and debit, and we also take cash still at our medical facility. However, the debit doesn't charge. It's just the credit. So I urge a lot of my patients to pay with their debit if they can. But, yeah, I try to get away from that fee as much as possible. Love your show. Thanks for everything. God bless you guys.
All right, thanks, Leo. 877-9713-971. The Just Wireless listener line. You can leave those comments anytime. You've got allergies bad. I don't know if you're going to. We might have to kick you out.
Oh. Just like you with the allergies.
So that was a great comment.
It's a pollen.
That was a great comment that.
Yeah, use your debit card.
Yeah, use your debit card. It's the same as cash. And my guess is that restaurant is going to charge you an extra 3% anyway.
That's the thing I never understood, because that was what Leo said. We take credit and debit cards. You know, my business is rental properties. We have for a long time passed on that 3% fee, because you're talking about a hefty transaction every month.
Sure.
Times multiple rental properties. So we're like, well, you can pay with a cashier's check, a money order. This is very possible. If you can't and you want to use a credit card, we charge the 3% fee. However, we've offered you can do like the wire or the pay by check, the digital check or whatever.
Sure.
And they charge something, but it's like a minimum. It's a couple bucks for a transaction fee. So on a big charge, it's no big deal. But if you're out there buying a trinket at a store for 10 bucks, it can be a lot. I think the debit cards actually have like a minimum fee just to process it, but they don't have the high 2-4% charge that the credit card companies have on the credit cards. So, and you have another comment here, because this has been a big issue on the fees and all that. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
One from Chandra.
Chandra?
Something like that.
Something like, how's it spelled?
Sorry. Chandra.
What do you think that is, Bob?
Mom would know.
Chandra? Chandra?
Chandra.
Yeah, sounds like it.
We're sorry for butchering your name.
Yeah, sorry.
We're very good at that.
In the place where I work, the bank charges the transaction fee. If we do not pass it along to the customers, the money taken comes out of what we pay for product. We eventually would be in the hole if we don't pass along the fee.
Yeah, I've acknowledged that, right? I mean, I understand that. But here's the thing that's happened, though, Chandra, is most places, especially on just daily transactions, this is really a new occurrence. It used to be not too long ago that the gas stations would offer like the cash price, right? And if you pay by credit card, it's more, whatever, you get the cash discount. But what I've noticed in the past 6 months with the inflation that's going on and still going on, it's still at like 4%, is that just regular businesses, restaurants,
everywhere
really, is starting to add this credit card surcharge. So I think this is the new thing. I hate to use the term. This is the new normal. And you can thank COVID and the trillions of dollars that went in stimulus and all the inflation, because businesses are getting to the point where they're strapped and they're like, I can't raise the prices anymore because I'm already charging, what, 18 bucks to get a burger, right? So they're like, I can't raise this more. So let's just, when they go up to the register, then they'll pay that extra fee. Mm-hmm. And people are getting this feeling that, oh, I'm not actually, the price didn't actually go up until they get to the register and they're like, oh, another 3%.
So something happened in Texas I thought was interesting yesterday. I don't know if you talked about it yesterday, but there's a Grubhub food delivery guy shows up at this house. I guess it's a really nice looking house.
I heard about this.
With a pizza. And the woman gave his $20 pizza. The woman gave him a $5 tip. So 25% tip.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
And the guy was really angry that that's all that she would give him. And he ended up, I guess, cursing at her or something, got fired.
He was yelling at the, like, because she was in, like, a big house.
Yeah.
Like, this was some kind of stuff. Like, you should pay me more just because you live in a big house. Well, you got 25%.
25%. That's pretty decent.
Was it Grubhub or was it the pizza place?
I heard it was Grubhub.
Okay. So you're also getting paid, though. Mm-hmm. They're getting a minimum fee to deliver that from the food.
They are.
Because we talked about this on an episode of Orbit's Overload. Isabel was doing the delivering the McDonald's burgers or something. And they paid like a minimum fee. McDonald's would pay that. What was that? DoorDash?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to figure out what it was called. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, I get, but back to the comment though, I understand that business have to pass those costs on, mm-hmm. but that does go, this has been a huge example for me of the cost of transacting due to credit card companies. Everybody's been paying 3% more for products. It's just been baked into the goods.
Sure.
But now, because they've had to raise, because of inflation, everything so much that they can't raise the prices anymore a lot of places because mm-hmm. It's just getting so uncompetitive. And eventually people say, I'm not going to go buy that. I'm not going to go to that restaurant because mm-hmm. it's just gone up so much. Anyway, your thoughts. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I got some things on the job market. I want to hit on this one about the new rule that came out of Washington, D.C. on automatic braking for truckers.
Yeah.
And there's also one already. This is where your car will automatically brake when it detects someone stopping. And I think there's probably good things there. But it does concern me a little bit that the computers are taking such control of your cars
right. And
your vehicles. And then also, what about if somebody goes into a car that doesn't have these systems now? Well, you know, all my cars are older, so I want to hit on all that. With inflation, you know, I've always liked to own a little bit of physical gold and silver, even if during times when there wasn't inflation. I always like to have it as an insurance policy. We got a great company right here based in Arizona, Desert Gold Exchange, that they keep their overhead low. They pass those savings on to you. Justin and his family. This is a family-run company. They'll answer all your questions when you give them a call. If you're new to owning physical gold and silver, mention the Jeff Orbit Show. And just mention the Jeff Orbit Show either way when you give them a call so they know their ads are working. They'll work with you. They'll get you a great price. Put them to the test. They have some of the lowest commissions that you're going to see out there. Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, welcome back. Jeff Orbit's here with Bob Thorpe and Olivia. Your comments, welcome. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Working our way through a lot of top news picks here. There was an arrest made. This is out of Apache Junction. This is 3TV. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office announced an arrest in the gruesome murder of a teen visiting from Nebraska. I don't know if you remember hearing about this, Bob. Deputies say 37-year-old Anthony Runard, R-U-I-N-A-R-D, is now facing first-degree murder and a slew of other charges stemming from the homicide. Authorities say that an 18-year-old Parker League was last seen alive at the Arco gas station on June 6th, which showed League and Runard leaving the store together in a black Dodge Challenger. Detectives pinpoint Runard after obtaining video surveillance of Parker's card being used at several stores after he died.
Wow.
And this is an area more rural, and the neighbors have been complaining in this area for years. When this story first hit about a week ago, 10 days ago or whatever, the neighbors have been complaining for years about all the people that are going out there to drug use. They're finding drug paraphernalia, partying, you know, all that going on. So yeah, I don't know what happened here, but, you know, obviously you got an 18-year-old who's visiting Arizona dead, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they're tracing this guy with cards and stuff, so alleged at this point, but at least they've got somebody on this one. And you hear about this sick stuff more than I care to even report on, but mm-hmm. it's the drugs. The drugs are just... You're just jacked up.
Huge problem.
It is. And it's just pouring across the border. We've got the open borders. You've got depression rates are like the highest ever in this country when you look at those numbers.
And then fentanyl use, we're seeing more and more people dying just from
using fentanyl. It's just absolutely out of control. So so that's good news, I guess, that they've got somebody in custody there for that one. Let's see. Let's come back and hit on this breaking issue. I want to hit on some voting issues going. Prescott's starting to vote. They're voting for new council seats. There's a new survey out that's regarding the military. I want to hit on 77% of young Americans would not qualify for military service now because of weight and other problems. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that as well. Let's see. WT Wealth Management, my good friend Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Why don't you give him a call if you're looking to get a second set of eyes on your portfolio? Glenn is a guy to call. I've talked to him for years. I actually do some stuff myself. I don't tell you how to invest, but learning as much as possible is very important. And Glenn can help you strategically position your portfolio based on where you are in your financial life. Making emotional decisions is not a good strategy. And you don't want to make decisions when the, you know, it hits the fan. You want to be taking care of this stuff now. Call Glenn Least. Get a free complimentary consultation at 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Bob Thorpe's here with me, Olivia as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Yeah, so check out this. A new study from the Pentagon shows that 77% of young Americans would not, this is from military.com, would not qualify for military service without a waiver due to being overweight, using drugs, or having mental and physical health problems. That's concerning.
Really? That many?
77%. Of young Americans.
Dang.
So, military age, you're 18 through, I don't know, what's military age? In your 20s, typically.
So, during the whole COVID crisis, they were forcing military men and women serving in our armed forces to get the COVID vaccinations. And a lot of them were refusing, and a lot of them were losing their positions. They were being removed from the military. Since that time, recruiting has gone way down.
Yeah.
Under the Biden administration, it's difficult to find people that are willing to serve. So that now, you know, this article is talking about that they're just, you know, those people that might be interested in serving, they physically aren't capable of doing so.
Yeah, there's so many, especially youth. And you didn't see this when I was a kid. You didn't see it when you were a kid, Bob. Mm-hmm. The obesity issues in very young Americans, right. Kids and then teens and then obviously young adults, you know, of recruitment age to join the military. It was unusual. I mean, I'm saying it didn't happen, but the numbers have boosted so much. It's got to be diet. It's got to be the sedentary lifestyle, the social media all the time, sitting there watching things, the screen time and all that.
There used to be there's a type of diabetes that it used to be that you'd only find it in older people. You mm-hmm. find it in people that were like 60, 70, 80 years old. And in the last 10, 20 years, you're finding that more and more in children.
Yeah.
Totally unusual because it's basically showing a sedentary lifestyle, poor diet. You can imagine kids sitting around either, you know, doing video games, watching TV, whatever, not going out and playing like you and I did when we were kids. And so that's a huge problem.
And now that led to the recent push. They were having the transgender recruitments and all this. They're like, I guess it's gone woke to a degree from what I'm hearing. And that was part of this article or another article. I don't know if military.com had this in there, but you mentioned it, Bob. People are the kind of traditional people that would hit this, a lot of people who join, their family joined, they have previous generations that have joined, and a lot of, there's more and more people saying, I don't want you to join, you shouldn't join. Whereas in the past, they were saying, hey, join up. But now, because of just the different culture, I guess, that's brewing there, there's even less people there. So those people that might qualify are saying, I think I'm good. I don't want to get involved in this right now.
They, it used to be that people would join for an opportunity. For example, if you're an inner city kid, you might join to try to improve your stature, get some training opportunities. A lot of people would join through patriotism, you know, just as you mentioned.
Yeah,
you know, you had generations of people that had served within a family.
Yeah.
Out on the Navajo Nation, Hopi Nation, the Apache Nation, huge numbers of Native American people will join the military.
Well, they have like the highest rates of military service.
Yeah. and serves with distinction. It's just really great. But you think about, as politics has started being inserted into military, into some of the commanders, things like that, that's really changing the dynamics.
Yeah, it is. And it doesn't help when they have, like you said, how many people did they lose during the COVID insanity? Mm-hmm. People who said, I'm not going to get that shot, and how many good people did they lose?
And then how many people aren't going now?
Aren't going now. I think they finally got rid of that requirement
for
the COVID shot, but how many people left by that time?
It was impacting our National Guard as well.
Yeah.
During COVID. So, yeah, it's kind of like the perfect storm. You know, we see rumblings from China looking at, you know, going in and invading Taiwan, and that at the same time that we have threats on the horizon, we don't have the military enlistment.
Yeah, it's just insanity. Okay, here's another one for you. Another government agency here that let me get to this one on the CDC, because they have guidance for trans people, and it has to do with breastfeeding, but it's also called now chest feeding.
Uh-oh.
You can't make this stuff up. You think you've reached a new level of absurdity.
Opposed to Hunter Biden, what is it, chest snorting? Something like that?
In fairness, we don't know if it was Hunter's cocaine at the White House. I mean, it could have come from so many places.
Could have been Joe's.
Who really knows? You know, they're like, hey, you got to go do a press conference. Let's get them juiced up here a little bit. All right. If you're thinking about selling your home right now in the Flagstaff area, if I was thinking about selling my home in the Flagstaff area, I'd be calling Kelly Broadus with the Broadus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. She's got extensive experience right here, knowledge right here in the Flagstaff area. She knows how to price your home, how to market your home, and how to sell your home for the highest price possible. And we'll have her on pretty soon to give a real estate market update. I try to do this once per quarter. It appears that the high-end homes are still selling like hotcakes. People are still looking for those, like, million plus.
Sure.
And that now the middle range is like $600,000 or $700,000, Bob. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of insane if you think
about it.
A mere $600,000. Yeah. $600,000 or $700,000. Those are staying on the market apparently a little bit longer now, but she's got a full team of dedicated professionals that are going to help market this to make sure that you get top dollar as quick as possible. By the way, if you want to get the valuation of your home, instant valuation, go to northernarizonafinehomes.com, click on home valuation, enter in your address, and you're going to get an email of your home's current market value right then and there. Google Kelly Broadus, check out her great reviews, Broadus, or you can also give her a call. Give Kelly Broadus a call at 888-446-5602. That's 888-446-5602. So yeah, the CDC gives guidance for trans people, quote unquote, chest feeding kids. So this is one of your government agencies. I think a government agency that started with good intentions that turned into insanity. And now they're being accused by some doctors of failing to talk about health risk. I guess that if you hop yourself up enough with the hormones and all that, mm-hmm. it actually is possible to lactate.
That's hard to believe, though.
I think that's hard to believe, too. That's what this article is saying. But it's so many drugs in there that now some doctors are saying there's a concern about these drugs passing through. Let me read this. In sections of the Major Health Institute's guidance on breastfeeding, it contained information for those who have had much of their breast removed in gender reassignment surgeries, or for biological men taking hormones to grow breasts, on how to feed their newborn children. However, several doctors criticized the guidance not simply because CDC has appeared to guide biological men in how to breastfeed children, but because they claimed the CDC has failed to gauge the risks posed to children drinking milk produced by chemicals used in gender reassignment medical operations.
Doesn't sound too safe.
It's just... Imagine if you came out of a cave.
That's just... That's all disturbing.
It is. It's like... What are we? Where are we going to be 20 years from, 10 years from now, 5 years from now?
We were talking at another time about what does an EMT do if they're responding, a paramedic or EMT, when they're responding to somebody and it's a biological man who claims they're having like labor pains or something like that. I mean, you know, how does that person who has been trained, you know, to be able to apply their medical knowledge. How do you respond to that? Yeah, how do they approach a situation like that?
And I've seen science fiction movies where someone gets arrested and they have their court-appointed attorney pop up, like, as a hologram. That was on, like, I think The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger, early 2000s. Okay. But then the guy was babbling. Arnold Schwarzenegger was like, there's a double out there. Somebody cloned me, right? And... you know, this is a whole thing on cloning, dangers of cloning, really. It's kind of prophetic because usually science fiction comes true 20, 30 years later. But after he said there was a double out there impersonating him and he's with his wife and this and that, Freud, the shrink came up as the hologram, right? And said, let me analyze. So my answer to you is we need the hologram appointed shrink to come up when somebody's in the, what's it called? The ambulance. Mm-hmm. And they say, clearly they're a dude and they say I'm going into labor or something.
Maybe
and
then they don't need help giving birth. Maybe they need brain surgery.
They just need some medical, like a shrink to pop up. So the ambulance folks, the EMTs, they're going to have to like maybe be more in line. Okay. How can I help you mentally here? Because how do you help someone like that who seriously thinks
they're just talking
a dude and they're having a baby.
Okay. So as weird as things are getting, they're just talking on the news today that there was a couple that decided to get married and have, was it that chat AI?
ChatGPT?
GPT.
Yeah. The,
actually
artificial.
Conduct the marriage.
Okay. The artificial intelligence. Okay.
The artificial intelligence, which they did. They, I guess they had like a Bluetooth speaker, used their phone, logged into the app.
How romantic.
But then the chat software doesn't have the authority to actually sign the marriage certificate. So somebody else at the wedding who had that authority went ahead and signed off. But yeah, it's getting pretty interesting to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that's kind of unique if you wanted to do that. I mean, it wouldn't be my thing. I mean, what they had this like a little voice on the speaker,
right?
Just wow,
telling stories.
It would be more impressive if it was like a hologram,
or if it was like a robot that came out or something. And it's like
with lasers.
Don't interrupt. Yeah, it's a brave new world. It's a brave new world when it comes to automobiles as well. This is an article from The Hill, a new rule. I love these rules. They're not laws. They're not done by...
Congress doesn't touch them.
Yeah, they're not done by the legislative body. They're not these... They call them rules, but what is a rule? Mm-hmm. It's a law.
You can get in trouble.
I mean, if I were to put down a rule in the household and say, the rule is, Olivia, you can't be wandering around at 10 o'clock at night in the road talking to your friends... at the risk of getting mauled by a javelina, which almost happened last week, right?
That's not what happened. Don't listen to him.
Anyway.
Makes a good story.
When I say that's the rule, I mean, that's the law of the house. I have come up with that rule. Me and Mom are the dictators. This is not a democracy. But we live in a representative republic where we're supposed to have lawmakers come up with laws. But anyway, this rule from two U.S. safety agencies would require heavy trucks and buses to come equipped with automatic emergency braking systems within the next 5 years. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration announced the proposed rule last Thursday, estimating that such braking systems could prevent more than prevent more than 19,000 crashes and save 155 lives each year. Not 153 or 4, 155 they've determined. So the braking system uses sensor technologies to detect whether a crash is imminent, and it automatically applies the brakes if the driver has not done so. It can also apply additional force to assist the driver's braking efforts. So it detects a car's slammed on its brakes in front of you, so it automatically applies those brakes, which is, to me,
So what if it, if there is no car in front of you and it applies the brakes, it basically the system is confused. So
how would it get confused?
There were early Tesla crashes where the person was allowing the car to drive autonomously. They didn't have their hands on the wheel. Yeah. And there's a reflection off like a big rig, a semi-truck, a truck that didn't have automatic braking.
Yeah, like the chrome or, yeah.
And the Tesla slammed right into the truck because the sensors weren't detecting that this physical object was in front of them. It had to do with the way the light was shining. My 2016 Toyota does these things. It has the automatic
braking. It already has it in there.
And then it also has automatic detection when you're using cruise control, which I always turn off.
The radar, if you're going to bump into someone.
So you're driving down the road, and somebody enters the lane safely in front of you, and you have it on cruise control. Immediately, your car slows down. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be extremely obnoxious. But the other day, I was driving down Lake Mary Road, and a car pulled in, you know, coming towards me, pulled into the turn lane. So they weren't physically, you know, coming into my lane. But my car was lined up in such a way that all of a sudden this big red banner popped up on my display, indicating that I think it was getting ready to automatically brake. Mm. But then it figured out that there wasn't anything directly in front of me. So these systems are not foolproof.
Yeah, now yours is, you said 16, so 7 years old already, 8-year-old technology. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the technology is advancing, but it does concern me because what if it's wrong and you have less control than you think going forward?
Or if there's a situation that you don't want it to break, you know?
Yeah, what if, you know, if we go into
not
like
the best course of action.
We just saw Indiana Jones, or we're going to see Mission Impossible at some point. There's mm-hmm. a time when, you know, you put on your seatbelt, but the guy hijacking the car doesn't, so you automatically crash into the tree, right? And then they go through. You've seen that in a movie, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how often that actually happens, but is there a way to disengage these systems? You told me on your car, yes.
For the cruise control.
But not the automatic braking.
Best of my knowledge, I haven't looked into it. But you think about a scenario where, for example, somebody pulls out in front of you and the car automatically wants to brake, then mm-hmm. you have the option of swerving, let's say to the left or the right, so that you don't hit that individual.
But then it's braking. You can't.
And it's braking, and that's going to completely screw up the driving dynamics.
What I find interesting is, and by the way, the safety agency proposed a similar rule to require automatic emergency braking systems in passenger cars and light trucks last month. So this is already in the works. You've got it in your car, and a lot of people have it in their mm-hmm. car, especially the cruise control radar. Mm-hmm. But that's been an option that the manufacturers have put in there. Now this is going to be regulated that it has to be in all new cars. I wonder about older cars.
Well, this rule here is talking about trucks and buses.
Yeah, no, but they're saying they've done a similar rule for cars. Passenger cars and light trucks. That's already in the works.
And once again, it doesn't go before Congress.
No.
Congress doesn't pass.
There's no debate on it. They have some commission and committee or whatever that you don't know anything about, that you don't hear about. But what about older cars that don't have these systems? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be like in a different class? Because I'm concerned with all the tech in the car. The tech is great, but then it can also go too far. But the costs involved with these cars, the cars are becoming prohibitively expensive because there's so much tech in there.
And then it's like, what if you don't want all this?
Well, what if you don't know? Yeah. Can I have an option for the roll down window and the carburetor?
Well, you made a comment.
And a 5-speed, or is that going to be out the door?
You made a comment during the break. What happens if you totally get used to all these automated systems in a newer car, and then you drive an older car that doesn't have any of it, and yet your brain is relying upon those automated systems.
Yeah, so the next thing you know, I loan a car to Bob, and he don't know how to drive anymore because the car brakes for him, drives itself half the time.
Parks itself.
Lane detection so you don't hit another car, and then mm-hmm. Bob goes and takes my 94 Jeep Wrangler and smashes into someone. He's like, it didn't stop.
It didn't stop.
You know, because you're going to pay less and less attention to these things as time goes on. Crazy world. Probably a lot of good there, but then it can probably be taken too far. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, if you're buying or refinancing to consolidate high rate credit cards right now, don't be misled by teaser rates online. I want you to call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. And you know what? Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender is Nova Home Loans. But here's the deal. They've got the ability to make decisions like a bank, but they're also, they can act like a broker so they can find the best programs out there for you. Call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. You get a pre-approval letter. And by the way, if you mention a Jeff Horvitz show, you can get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. That's Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans at 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, Nova Home Loans at 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
This is Jeff Horvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com.
Are you annoying, Abby?
All right. Yeah, we're back. Yeah, put a headset. We're back, but we're going to be back again in a few minutes. Bob Thorpe's here with me. Olivia's here with me. Let's get into, I got a story about a grocery store employee fired for recording thieves stealing goods. This one's crazy. We got more on the red flag warnings out there. Plus, hottest day ever. Well, I've got some problems with this headline you're seeing all over the place. Hottest day ever. We'll talk about it when we come back. Hang tight. Back in a few.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Hi, this is Jeff Horvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity. This hour of the show is brought to you by Just Wireless in Flagstaff. Another hour starts now.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Jeff Horvitz here. Bob Thorpe is with me. Olivia as well, as we continue to make our way through some news items and the red flag warnings that are out there. Windy, Todd.
Bob insists that we introduce one other.
Oh, yeah, we do have another guest, and that's Addie, family dog. If you watch Horvitz Overload, we've got her in most of those videos, so shouldn't hang out. It's too hot out there. Imagine having a permanent fur coat. Do you think it cools them, or do you think they're cooking? I mean, Addie's mostly black, got some white in hers, you know, a little bit, but I mean, she's out there and she's cranking hot. That would suck not to be able to take off your fur coat in the summer.
Yeah, my black lab will go out and lay down in the sun on a day like today in the dirt. And when she finally comes back in, her fur feels like it's about 120 degrees.
Probably is. Yeah, but they, I don't know. She's inside in the cool bunker here with us. She
wanted to be with us. She didn't want to be alone.
Red flag warning. What does that entail? I mean, pretty much Northern Arizona, pretty much the state. Or what do we got, Olivia?
Yeah, so I'm saying that it's like pretty much the whole state. It's from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for both Thursday and Friday. This is due to strong winds and low relative humidity for much of northern Arizona. But
is there any
some other
humidity?
Places we're seeing? Yeah, doesn't feel like it.
Prune.
All of Arizona. It has affected area locations near Buffalo Pass, Stony Park, Flagstaff, Fredonia, Grand Canyon, Holbrook, Page, Tuba City, Williams, Window Rock, and Winslow. Among others.
I was optimistic last weekend when we went to Prescott Valley and we came out of the movies there, and it was, well, it wasn't last weekend. When was that?
Overcast.
Sunday. It was overcast, and mm-hmm. I was like, the clouds are forming. It's starting to, when is it going to start squeezing that moisture? I guess it's just not flowing up yet.
Yeah.
And you know, monsoons now, all of a sudden, after many decades of me watching this stuff, all of a sudden it starts June 15th. And that never used to be the case. It always used right. to be when there was some humidity in the air to actually facilitate rain and thunderstorms and things like that.
Temperature and humidity has to hit a certain level before they declare it here in Arizona as an actual monsoon.
No, they say it's June 15th now, Bob.
Yeah.
That's like the date. Monsoons have started, even though there's no monsoons.
In June?
Yeah, that's June 15th. They just have an arbitrary date now.
That's so early, though.
Yeah, but it's too early because there's never months. Well, I shouldn't say never. Rarely.
And you know it's a monsoon.
Monsoons
because,
in mid-June.
Because you can look kind of off to the east and see the cumulonimbus clouds starting to form.
That's a big word.
Huh? Yeah, they turn into, they're thunder clouds, and it turns into storms. And we haven't seen any of that.
Well, let's talk about the hottest day ever here in just a second. So they claim, but I have some doubts on this one. If you want to cool off, go on over to Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff. They've got a special going on right now. You may be listening to the podcast, but every Thursday they have their sliders, which Olivia and I love to get those. They've always got something on their $3 menu. Or is it $4 menu? I'm sorry. I think it's the $4 menu. I don't want to boost it down too low. Like their pozole, which is really good. They've got tacos. They've got just great food
salsa,
there.
You name it.
You just squeeze the salsa right into your things like that. No, they've always got something. You can get out of there without breaking the bank, and you can get a cold drink. They've always got happy hour going on all the time at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, so you can cool down with a nice, cool, refreshing drink. Go to Sportsman's Bar and Grill and check out all the games, all the action that's going on there. That's Sportsman's Bar and Grill just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center. All right, so hottest day ever. This is the headline that's pretty much parroting around the U.S. in every major news site, that the U.S. experienced the hottest day ever here on Monday. And I guess what they did is they took the average, supposedly, average temperatures, average global temperature, they're saying it was on Monday 62.62 degrees Fahrenheit, the highest U.S. National Centers for Environmental Predictions data. That's the highest number that's come up until I think now today or yesterday it hit even a bigger number.
When I hear hottest day ever, I think of something in the 60s all the time.
Yeah, but they're taking the average, so I guess they're throwing in Antarctica and, you know, places in Russia. So what they're doing is they are getting the temperature points, because you got all these temperature places all around the world in the oceans, in waters, you know, water. They've got air temperature, you know, they've got these buoys and this and that. But they've also got all the land-based things. So it all goes into a big computer, and it all gets, you know, entered in, and they come up with this average temperature. So I would imagine tens of thousands of temperature-checking places around the world, and they come up with this average temperature throughout the world of 62.62 degrees Fahrenheit. And when you see the headline, what is this, CNN? The planet saw its hottest day on record this week. It's a record that will be broken again and again, because records always get broken, right? Mm-hmm. But again, the headline, another headline here was hottest day ever. This from the Arizona Republic, hottest day ever was the headline. You go and read the article, though. What does ever mean?
So
do you guys have hottest day ever?
So this is the hottest day, even going back past the dinosaurs.
Yeah, you would think like we're going pretty far back, right? Yeah. Because it was pretty hot when dinosaurs were around.
Adam and Eve were
looked hot. I mean, they weren't wearing any clothes,
right?
So my assumption it was pretty hot, right? I mean, I think back to history. You look at let's look at like the Greeks and the Romans. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all wearing like man skirts and stuff, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking like, obviously it wasn't too cold. It was probably pretty hot back then before, mm-hmm. That's even before they had the internal combustion engine, right?
Like either have a way to measure it or keep a record.
Yeah. Okay. What's the history, Bob? Why don't you look this up? You may even know this. What mm-hmm. is the history of the thermometer? Like when did we start? If you type, okay, Olivia, you type that in. When was the first accurate thermometer, I guess, would be something that I'd like to know. And I just thought of this, or I would have prepared a little better on this one. But when did we even have, you know, something accurate to actually measure temperature?
1714.
So, okay, 1714. And was that like a mercury-based thermometer? Okay. So forever, realistically, we can only go back to the early 1700s. Or are they able to measure this? Because I've read several of these articles. Are they able to measure the hottest temperature ever based off of some kind of, I don't know, tree rings or something? That's moisture, though. I mean, are they able to tell that, the average temperature on the Earth back in 1402 was only 58.62 degrees. Can they tell that data is what I'm trying to get at? I don't think so.
I think that I went down
ice core samples.
Yeah, I went down the University of Arizona, their tree ring lab. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Highly recommend anyone to visit.
If you're into tree rings.
If you're into tree rings. So, and what they determined, like in the 1100s, there was a drought in the western United States that lasted 150 years.
Okay.
And so what they're looking at is the amount of growth at the beginning of the, like in spring.
Okay.
And then the amount of growth throughout the year and then into fall. And that's going to give them an indication of how much moisture was available, maybe temperature, but they really can't.
But you know, not this kind of accuracy, though,
they can
Bob.
Tell, they can tell, yeah.
They can tell there was slow growth because of presumably drought, probably heat. But what was the heat? I just can't see them getting to this level, 62.62 degrees.
If
or whatever.
There are articles that you can read about how inaccurate their temperature monitoring is. For example, there are locations that where the National Weather Service has a weather station parked right next to a chimney of a processing business that uses that chimney for like melting metals and things like that. They have
that makes sense.
They have weather stations that are out in the middle of black pavement parking lots, mm-hmm. and you know how hot those things get, and so I think that there are concerns with some scientists that we don't do a very good job measuring.
Yeah.
I don't know where they can make a claim like this.
I think it's like everything.
Was it a few months ago? They were talking about how much snow we'd received. It was the highest,
the fifth snowiest.
Yeah, but the headlines were totally different.
Yeah, me and Olivia did a big thing on that. They had said, it's the second snowiest winter on record.
Yeah.
And it was to that point, assuming that time stopped right there, mm-hmm. that there was no more winter. And we were like, wait a second. It's not the second snowiest. It is at that point, but some of the biggest storms that were on record were later in the season, so that was going to knock that out. And then it wound up being the fifth snowiest.
It's like
they forgot to write. They wrote it's the second snowiest season on record, and then in fine print down below all the disclaimers. Right, it was to this point in the season, and it's like, that's everybody thought though. Second snowiest winter, and there's probably still people
it's like we
convinced
can make
of that
any record.
Yeah,
with those kind
of
rules.
you can set your own parameters. So anyway, they're claiming that hottest day ever, which is so broad, considering all the time that has elapsed before this moment in time.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So anyway, then you read on. The highest in the U.S. National Centers for Environmental Predictions data, which goes back to 1979, you know, when time started in 1979.
They have a wealth of data.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's, wow, really? That far? They went back that far, all the way,
shocking.
All the way, all
clearly,
the way to,
they must be right.
Woo, all the way climate to 19. Change. Yeah. It's got to be stop driving your car, start driving those electric vehicles, and we can get this thing down and not break this record again and again.
Stop
because
breathing,
because
stop
Bob's
eating.
2016 car emits too much pollution.
A number of years ago, two separate scientists, I believe one was in Germany, one was in Great Britain. They came out with a theory separately, but it was the same theory about global dimming. And what they were suggesting is China and India were putting so much particulate matter, especially from coal-fired power plants, into the air that it was actually causing almost like a lens effect and not allowing as much sunlight to hit the ground.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that they came to that conclusion was for well over 100 years, farmers would put out like 5 or 10 gallons of water in a big, you know, circular container, and they would measure how much it would evaporate over a week. And the idea being that if it evaporated more, then maybe more sunlight is hitting the ground. It evaporates less sunlight. So they were basing their claims on this global dimming on over 100 years of farmers' records of evaporation rates, and which I find kind of fascinating. Now, it's only roughly 100 years worth, but it still gives you a way of predicting what's happening from a climate standpoint.
That's the problem, though, is the data is not far enough. They act like it is. They act like they know everything, the expert class in this country. I'm not – look, it's hot out there.
It's 44 years worth of data.
Yeah, wow. I mean,
it's got to be accurate.
It's got to be accurate. It's all the way from 1979. And here, what was the date? 1714 was the first mercury-based thermometer. I mean, before that, how do you measure it? And then, Bob, you mentioned the prediction from the tree rings when you went to the, what was that place called in Phoenix? The tree ring?
The tree ring laboratory at University of Arizona.
You can tour this thing?
Yeah. It's fascinating.
They charge?
I don't think so.
Huh. Something, I guess if you're really hot and you want to get in the AC, go check out the tree ring place down in Phoenix there. But yeah, they don't have the time frame. So you look back and they determined back in the 1100s that there was probably a big drought.
150 years.
And that really jives with, if you go out to Wapatki out there and other places throughout northern Arizona where there are Indian ruins and a lot of, they had pretty big population centers and you could tell it was a thriving community with sports and trading that was going on. And then it all disappeared. I don't know if it was, I think it was within that time range that these places really just fell apart. And that was because of probably climate change, probably warming that was happening
too
and
many,
the drought.
Too many SUVs.
I guess it was, yeah. And that's what I always come back to is like we look at where we are right now, a lot of these experts and these so-called experts, and they just, it's a hot day, and then they always pump out and churn out these headlines when we're in the middle of, people are miserable because down in Phoenix, what are they saying? It's going to be 1700. Death Valley, there's death in Death Valley because it's 120. It's below sea level. Have you ever been there?
I've never
been
there.
It's below sea level.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's one of the hottest places on the planet. I think it was 122 or something, and somebody died.
Wow.
It's not a surprise. Sorry you died. It's not a surprise, though, if you're hiking in Death Valley.
Yeah.
Or whatever happened, and it's the middle of summer, it's called Death Valley. And it's nothing new.
It's not Unicorn Valley.
No, it's just like every year, it's just so frustrating because these alarmists come out all the time, and they do it on they have like these, have the headline ready. They know there's going to be a heat wave because it hits every, this is no surprise. And they got a video here on CNN. And what does the video show? It looks like Mars. It's probably out in the Arizona Mojave Desert or somewhere like that.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys can see this here, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this wasn't like this before 1979 or something. No, it's the desert. It's always been dry and hot out here. What are these people? Do people eat this?
That's what a desert is.
It's frustrating. So all the way since 1979. So there you go.
That's the piece of news that the person's going to hold on to for the whole day or maybe in the week.
They just see the headline. Just see that headline. And that's what, oh yeah.
Gloom and doom.
They were right. It is hotter than it is, but it's hot. It's a hot time of year. And this hits every time. All right. I want you to go and get in your fossil fuel burning, gasoline burning, diesel burning automobile and head on out to Williams to take good old Route 66. Mm-hmm. Burn that fuel up because, you know, it's just going to get hotter and hotter anyway. So you might as well just speed it up at this point and go visit Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. Get a great steak. You've got a former mayor of Williams, John Moore. He owns that place. He does an excellent job of getting great steaks. And also breakfast. They got a huge portion of food for breakfast from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And of course you go to Williams, you get that old Route 66 experience.
Oh, walking up and down the main drag.
Fantastic. And you can have a good time. They've got all kinds of activities out in Williams. So go on out and, you know, have some fun out there to make it a day trip from wherever you're at in northern Arizona. Even if you got, if you got an electric car, plug it in. Get plenty of juice in that thing.
Okay.
And go out to Miss Kitty's Steakhouse and enjoy yourself a good steak. All right, hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff. Check the email, Olivia. I haven't checked that in a while. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get to those comments either during today's show or tomorrow's show. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And tomorrow's weekly roundup's Friday already.
It was a fast week.
Yeah, I like when like Independence Day and stuff's in the middle of the week because we can become a little more lazy than usual. Voting is underway in Prescott through, I guess, August 1st. Is that on Tuesday, August 1st? Let me look up the calendar here. This is for, must be August. Yeah, Tuesday, August 1st. So voting underway in Prescott. It's the only election I know about in northern Arizona. I don't know everything, though. I know a little less than everything. Right, Olivia? If you have an election going on, send me the info, and I'll get that out there as well in your community. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Mayor Phil Good is up for re-election, but he has no challenger, so he should be a shoo-in. I had him on just like a week or two ago. He said as long as he and his wife vote, he's good to go. There's four-year seat. They do it a little different than some communities. They have a four-year seat for council and a two-year seat, which I kind of like. Mm-hmm. So you can rotate that. So four-year seats. You got Kathy Rusing, Chadwick DeVries, Lewis Fruith, and Ted Gambogi. I probably butchered those, huh? So anyway, there's a two-year seats. You got Connie Cantelm and Tony Hammer. I knew that one. Those are some tough names there.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. I got to get some of the candidates for the U.S. Senate race on the program. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to see a little more activity. I'm still waiting to see. There's been so much speculation about Carrie Lake jumping into the Senate race against Kirsten Sinema. And then who's that other guy, the Democrat, Rum Gallego?
Gallego, yeah.
Yeah, very far left guy. I think he probably makes Sinema look like a super moderate if you were to hold them up.
He does.
Any thoughts on that? Do you think Carrie Lake's going to get in this thing, or do you think she's playing on the national stage now?
You know, there's speculation that she'd like to be the VP pick for Trump. I think that's a stretch. I think that My concern about Carrie Lake and any candidate like her is no experience. And so, you know, they're not grounded. You know, I would prefer...
Trump didn't have experience. And
I know.
We had some good times there.
But, you know, I would prefer somebody that has held some kind of office. They ran for school board, city council, county supervisor, something, and they held an office for 2 or 4 years and actually learned what it was to be a servant of the public. When somebody comes along, you know, like Carrie Lake comes along and she's never held office, and what does she do? She goes for governor, you know, and now, you know, you're suggesting the possibility that she might run for Senate.
It's getting late for that, though.
That's troublesome for me.
Yeah, but don't you get...
That makes sense. But, like, at the same time, you also want new people, because if we have the people with experience, that's the people we're always complaining about.
That's what I was going to say,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 80 years of experience.
Well, let's hope it's good experience. In other words, somebody that's... Yeah, you think about a Paul Gosar, you know, that he's had a very shining reputation throughout the whole time he's served in Congress. I have no problem reelecting Paul Gosar because of that.
You say that, and I say that too. I'm happy to. I can't vote for him anymore because he's in a different district. And
he is.
Always love when we have Congressman Gosar on. And if you're listening, I know sometimes you're in the area, Paul. Love to hear from you. Send me a text. We'll get you back on the program. But the other side, we always say, oh, that guy has been in office for 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
He's awful. It's just, it's a matter of perspective too, though. Sometimes as you're like, if it's your guy, you're like, I'm fine with that. What I don't like is when they're there like the Biden, you know, and like I said, we had a great time under Trump because the economy was doing good. There was so much that was happening in a positive way for the country. But then again, we're having a good time with Biden too. I mean, there's cocaine flowing in the White House and, you know, and all that stuff. So it's like party central there. But the problem with someone like Biden is, yeah, you've got all the experience in the world, but they become inside swamp creatures.
Right.
And then they're just playing the game all the time to get reelected. So I hear what you're saying, though. Okay, maybe can you serve on a commission or a committee or a school board or something, just to kind of get the procedures down and to understand
a little bit? I think that there are people that run for office and they really don't have a moral compass. They don't have their own political compass as far as, you know, how they think, what they'll vote on. And I definitely saw that down at the legislature. You'd have people that were elected as solid Republicans, but sometimes they're voting on pretty far left stuff with the Democrats. And it's kind of like, do they really have a political compass when it comes to the values of the party that they're a part of?
I would say that more don't than do at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at them and you're just like, really? You know, there's just, it's an absolute mess out there with these politicians. Yeah, term limits. Love to see term limits.
Look at Jeff Flake. You look at John, or who's in... Utah, Romney.
Romney, who was the nominee for president there not too long ago, right? Back in 2012.
And the years that they've now
Cheney.
Been in Washington, they're kind of an embarrassment.
They are, not even kind of.
It's like
of.
Our leaders.
Yeah, our great leaders. All right, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, you head on out there and you will run into Timberline Firearms and Training right there on the left. And what a great place to go right now with the red flag warnings and the heat, climate controlled indoor shooting range. I want you to head on out there and take advantage of something else that Timberline's doing for July, which is instead of like you get 1 hour of range time, now you actually go there and if you pay for the hour, you can stay as long as you want. So if you want to spend a couple hours sharpening your firearm skills, Timberline Firearms and Training has this great special for July. Like I said, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, while you're out there, check out some of their great the ammunition, their accessories, their firearms.
Liberty Safes,
mm-hmm. Exactly, which also Rob and I have talked about with the fire risks and all that, how important it is to have your documents in a good fire-rated safe like a Liberty Safe. Also, lots of training courses. Call them up. Book these training courses. They go really quick. There's limited availability because you don't want to crowd a bunch of people. You know, you only want so much people. You have small class sizes. Timberline Firearms and Training, 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
Welcome back. Comments always welcome. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love hearing from you. Olivia's here with me. Bob Thorpe is here with me as well.
I think Olivia is allergic to crazy news.
Oh, every, that every must
time
be
we,
it.
Every time we talk about a crazy news story, she kind of coughs a little bit. And,
I feel it too, though. It's the allergies, and I don't feel it as much in Verde Valley. You know how much stuff we got growing down there.
Oh, it's Green Haven.
The junipers or what up here. I mean, everybody thinks it's the ponderosa pine trees and that yellow crap that's floating around, but I went to an allergist, and they said, no, it's not that. It's a lot of juniper. I was allergic to everything. I did one of those allergy tests, and they, like, stick you and see what kind of bubbles up. It's bubble
right.
up. The word. Yeah, that sounds kind of gnarly. you know, the raised skin, like the infection right there. Or the reaction is the word I'm looking for, and it's I was, like, allergic to everything.
Are you allergic to the hottest day in record?
I am. I mean, who couldn't be allergic to that? So, hottest day in record since records back to all the way to 1979.
Wow.
The last time they had disco balls and cocaine in the White House is when these records come back to, right?
John Travolta was in a white jumpsuit.
It's so embarrassing. You know, is the Good Samaritan kind of dying in this country? Like, the ability to stand up. I mean, we look at the situation that's going on with New York with that guy who subdued and put into chokehold.
Right.
The guy that was kind of going crazy, making threatening statements, and he killed the guy. The guy died. So he's on. They're going through with that trial coming up or going on right now, whatever the case is there. It used to be people stand up. How many times are you seeing nowadays, everybody's got a phone, right? And everybody's like, oh, this guy, this 22-year-old guy or whatever, this young guy is beating the heck out of at a granny, you know, some 80-year-old woman in the public, and everyone's just there, somebody should do something. I'm filming this.
Yeah.
How many times you see that and you're like, really? Nobody wants to step in, or they're waiting to get their viral video. But then when you step in, you see possible legal ramifications, especially in some states.
Right.
So we were taught, especially as guys, to stand up for people being bullied, especially people who may be weaker, people who may be outnumbered, people who, you know, elderly, et cetera, et cetera. And that's being erased, and that's being canceled in this culture as well.
They refer to that as being chivalrous or
chivalry. Yeah, yeah. It's like you see a situation. How many times over the years have you gone by someone on the road and, you know, it used to be you stopped to help, and nobody wants to stop anymore. Everybody thinks because you're watching the media all the time that everybody who's over there, there's someone else is going to help that person on the side of the road.
Right.
Or perhaps that person on the side of the road is, you know, is a serial killer. Everybody's a serial killer. So now you got this situation in, who is this article from? The Blaze. Grocery store. You got this one, Olivia?
Yeah, grocery store employee.
You give a crack at
employee.
It, and I will probably interrupt as you go here.
Grocery store employee fired for recording thieves steal cart full of goods, which helped police identify crooks.
Okay, what is the headline?
A grocery store employee in Colorado was fired after he videotaped three men loading stolen laundry detergent. Wait, that's what you steal? But anyway, stolen laundry detergent into a vehicle.
No, okay, we got to stop with that. What?
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to be a criminal.
Right.
That's what I always say.
You're going to steal something. You pick
that's what you
laundry
choose?
Detergent? I mean, they're going to put a dollar value on damages and things like that, right? But if you steal something, you're getting felony charges or whatever, right? No matter what you steal. Am I wrong on that? I don't know.
Unless you live like in California. You can steal up to $1,000 worth.
You get $999 of laundry detergent here. You get $999 of laundry detergent over there. And then you probably don't get prosecuted.
Yeah, this particular one is troublesome. So the employee that intervened had been in the military police officer. So in other words, that tells you a few things about that individual, that they probably were patriotic when they joined the military. They were doing law enforcement in the military. So in other words, they were concerned about crime, law and order.
Yeah,
so
former MP, yeah.
And it was interesting because the guy basically was not trying to stop him, but he was filming them. And then the only time he actually acted other than filming was he walked up to the license plate as these people were getting ready to drive away. And they had covered their license plate because they had this big, premeditated theft in mind of stealing laundry detergent.
If you're covering your plate.
They covered their plate with aluminum foil.
And so he goes and rips it off.
And so, the employee ripped it off, and then he gets fired for that.
The employee's name was Santino Barola, and the video went viral. He posted the video.
Snoop Dogg replayed the video.
Yeah, this is a video worth replaying. This is a person worth celebrating, not firing. So he put it on social media, shows the three men loading a basket full of stolen laundry detergent.
Which helps the police identify the driver. Yeah.
So they're loading it into a minivan, and it's at the parking lot of the King Soapers?
Yeah,
Soapers. King Soapers? Is that what that is?
It's like a shopper, but Soaper.
Okay, King Soapers.
I love the employee's comments. He's yelling at the guys or talking to the guys and says, "Look at them stealing. Really, bro, you got to steal this, huh? Economy's that bad." I mean, just
the economy's not that bad.
Just teasing.
Yeah, the economy's not that bad. Better get it while the getting's good. You know, this guy's filming and being like, "Really, you're stealing this? I'm filming you. And these guys.
That's what I'd be like. I'd be like,
geniuses.
You're putting all this time for laundry detergent.
I know. Imagine if these people put something
into... Like, if you could actually do something useful with all that time it took to plan and go and do it.
So, vehicle's driving off, and like you said, Bob, the guy, Barola, he goes and yanks the piece of aluminum foil covering the license plate. So, now this is a premeditated theft,
right?
That, like you said, that these guys are planning. But how stupid are these guys? You drive up with... First of all, the foil on the license plate is like...
That's not suspicious.
Here's the problem with our... Like, we started off the show with this, how people can't do anything anymore.
Right.
They can't even rob successfully.
They can't even... Well, but the bigger thing is they aren't even aware that the license plate is actually removable. Something on there. It's probably a Phillips screwhead holding in the license plate. They can't even operate...
That would have taken
a Phillips screwdriver. It's like, let's put
that would have taken time and effort, though.
Yeah, let's put tin foil on it because, if a cop pulls up behind us, they'd be like, tin foil. I don't see anything.
There's a license plate.
Versus no license plate at all.
When the thieves were actually booked at the jail, they said that they were actually trying to do something for the city. They're trying to clean up crime. With all that laundry detergent.
They only caught, I think, one of them so far or something, but they've got them on video, so they'll catch them. Generally, they catch most of these people that do these really stupid things because these are stupid criminals. This would be didn't they used to have the stupid criminals show or something they'd show these people. So, there you go.
But anyway, he was fired.
Yeah, he's fired. So he's fired. So
they violated an employee policy that instructs employees not to intervene in theft.
Yeah, but all he did was he videotaped them. Are you supposed to just like close your eyes and say, "I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing it." So this
door's that way. Need some help carrying that.
Shame on. Is it King Soapers? Is that how Soapers?
Soapers. Yeah.
You know this story. You know this story.
I don't know.
Shame on King Soaper Soapers Grocery for firing this guy, and now. What a bad example it sets for anybody to even... He didn't intervene. He didn't try to stop them.
People aren't helping.
Yeah, he didn't go out there and try to detain them and anything like that. He filmed it. Shame on them for doing that. It's pretty pathetic. Your thoughts, though. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
How many bottles of laundry detergent would you have to steal to be worth $500, though?
Yeah, how much?
That's like a whole cart full?
Where do you bring it? I mean, it's like, is there a big black market for, I've got some, laundry detergent, it's half price.
Can't find this anywhere else.
Yeah. These are the same people that probably supplied the White House cocaine, though. So,
powder.
We're not talking about super duper high intelligence here at this point. Hey, I just got, I'm getting my truck back finally.
Wow. How long has that been?
Oh, man, it was rough. Sometimes I got to go to the dealership on these certain items that are, when you buy a car, it's so specialized. But I have a lot of older vehicles that I bring over to Crazy Country Boys Services. In fact, I brought over Isabel's 1996 Isuzu Rodeo, right? And the air conditioning hadn't worked for 4 years.
Huh.
4 years, 5 years she's had that car. Vintage. It's vintage. She's driving around. It's hot.
You tried, like, to convince her that it did work all, like, along. Oh,
so, yeah, I had to borrow the car because she took the Tahoe when she did it.
One
trip.
Day driving. And
I'm
like,
in,
oh,
that thing for an hour. It's like, oh, this thing needs air conditioning. I took it over to Crazy Country Boys Services right there off Empire Avenue. You find it back there, kind of behind the mall in that industrial area there. They're there because they keep the overhead low, so they, you know, they don't need that fancy.
Not a fancy lobby or anything.
No, nothing like that. But they recharge the air conditioning units, and it's crispy cold. It just needs to be recharged. I felt kind of bad, so we could have done it a long time ago. But in fairness, she could have done it too. It's her car.
She's like, I don't want to spend money.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to spend money, so have Dad do it. Anyway, Crazy Country Boys Services, call Big Jim and his team will get you fixed up. 928-607-9753. That's Crazy Country Boys Services at 928-607-9753. I want to finish up today talking about the accessory dwelling units. We've talked about this a bit because I see that Phoenix, and I know a lot of you like Phoenix, whatever, you know, but Phoenix has passed us. Mm-hmm. Or they have an upcoming meeting in September, I think. They're pretty much down that road of we're going to allow accessory dwelling units, which is basically your mother-in-law's quarters.
That's what they refer to them as.
And daughter-in-law's quarter. No, I don't think you call that. Mother-in-law? Daughter, it wouldn't be daughter-in-law.
It used to be really difficult.
Where'd that come from?
It used to be really difficult to get a permit to build something like this.
Yes.
And I think that what government is doing, is moving towards, is the idea that you can allow, for example, a relative to have some autonomy living in a unit that's on your property. But also, you know, the popularity of, you know, organizations or companies like Airbnb give a person the ability to build, you know, one of these accessory units and be able to rent it out.
Yeah. And it's not just family. The way that Phoenix is passing the law, and I believe Flagstaff has or is in the process of amending the zoning code, I guess I should say, it can be anybody. You could rent it as a regular long-term rental. The concern that actually is coming up with these accessory dwelling units, and they could be a small just room. It doesn't even have to. I don't even know if some of them, do you have to have kitchens and things like that, or can that be in the main house? I need to look at that a little more.
I'm unsure.
But what they're concerned about, I guess, is some people are bringing up, well, is this going to turn into short-term rentals? Mm-hmm. You know, the issue in Arizona right now is there's a shortage of housing, so we're told. And I guess I believe that because look at the pricing, and if the market forces are accurate, which I think they are, rental rates have gone up a whole bunch, meaning there's a supply and demand issue. So
Flagstaff, no low-cost rentals.
No. So, but if you could put a small unit. And my question on this is, what are the standards, I guess? Because can you get like one of those? You've mentioned those sheds you buy, you see them at the side of the road in those lots. Mm-hmm. You can bring in those. And they're
a tough shed.
Like a tough shed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Can you get one of those and re-insulate it, you know, wire it, insulate it, do the drywall, do the flooring, you know, make a housing unit out of that and stick that in the back? And I think in Phoenix they were saying, yeah, you could probably do something like that. I don't know what those sheds cost, but I would imagine $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000.
And then you have to do it all.
You got to do it all. So Bob, you're handy. You're always doing projects like me. Mm-hmm. You know, you could probably get one of these small units popped up in the $20,000, $30,000 range.
Sure.
And that's pretty cheap for housing and to provide some additional housing relief in the state.
And of course, you know, you would have to meet requirements with the planning and zoning department.
Yeah, you can't just go put the shed in the back and.
And then you'd have to
try
if you're using it, you're renting it. I think that there's probably some requirements, for example, like the Americans for Disabilities Act, meeting those requirements, meeting, you know, you'd have to have a smoke alarm in it. You know,
yeah, you've got to have the basic
health and safety issues. What does the city or county then do is they raise your property value.
Of course, if you added a 20 by 20,
you're going to pay more.
Yeah. But if you're thinking about, think about it in Flagstaff, if you go out and Phoenix has gotten high as well, you go out and rent even a 2-bedroom unit right now, you're lucky if you can get away with $1,500, $1,600 a month. Mm-hmm. You stick one of these in the backyard. Maybe you've got older family members or Maybe you've got kids that are like just starting off and they're like, hey, I'm finishing up school, but I want some self-sufficiency, I guess. Okay, go out I would be like Olivia. Go out in the backyard and, you know, here's the plans. Build this 20 by 20 house. You pay for it. And, you know, you're going to be coming out way ahead. Rather than spending $1,500 a month in rent, you're going to spend far less on $30,000. So I think it's an overall good thing.
So your oldest daughter, you know, she'll graduate from college. And normally what would happen these days is they would then move back into the basement of the parents' house.
Yes.
But, of course, you can't allow that because you have a radio station.
I have a whole studio in your the basement underground here. So that's not going to happen. So
what's your daughter going to do?
I'm going to stick a shed out back, I guess.
She's in bad shape.
Hang tight.
Or you could stick her on the trampoline.
Yeah, there you go. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona is in its third year advertising here on the show, and it's because they're the best. They're the number one gutter protection system out there. It's not like this leaf filter, this cheesy screen that you buy in a hardware store, and everything clogs and piles up. Now, this is a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects the pine needles and the debris. Now, Gutter Helmet has over 50,000 feet installed in Arizona and over 80 million feet installed throughout the U.S., over 40 years of experience, Gutter Helmet offers the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty on performance and materials. Hey, if you don't want to clean your gutters anymore, I want you to call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now at 928-318-6555. Never clean your gutters again. And if you mention a Jeff Horvitz show, well, normally you get 30% off. You mention the show, though, you get an additional 5% off. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now. Take advantage of those discounts. Take advantage of the awesome Gutter Helmet system, 928-318-6555. 928-318-6555, or go to gutterhelmetnac.com. Get on out there. Enjoy the hottest day ever since 1979. Right? Why not?
Yeah, it sounds real fun.
Since 1979. All right. I hope everybody has... Be careful out there, though, with the... The fire dangers, the red flag warnings.
Wind, too.
Wind, going on all over the place. Pray for monsoons, Bob.
No, if you're going out in the forest, no charcoal,
Nothing like
no
that.
No fires, open fires.
Be back tomorrow. Take care. See you soon.